To Fantasy Focus Football. It is Friday, September 2nd. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. It is Daniel, Mike, and Field today holding down the Friday show. One last Friday before we get to next week where real football begins. I'm already like 30 leagues deep as far as drafts go. Give or club.
Really?
You're managing those or are they best ball too?
No, best ball I have way more than that. Honestly, I probably have about 15 teams.
Yeah, I think I'm at 13 this year.
I'm at 12, I think.
But three of mine are guillotine leagues, so I don't know if you consider that the same level of management. 10 teams that are combined redraft and dynasty.
And you plan on getting knocked out early, so you don't have to worry about them.
Correct, exactly. Okay, gotcha. Like guillotine leagues, I did it only because like there's a donation, so I wanted to support a cause. I'm not actually going to win them.
Right.
I'm going to lose.
You drafted all bad players just to get knocked out. Like, yeah, no.
Yeah, weirdly, I took Nick Folk in the first round. People were like, dude, he was going to go off at like the third round at best. I was like, I like the discount. I like paying the premium.
Hey, if you want a guy, you got to pay up.
Labor Day sale, right. Just the opposite, right?
Exactly.
That's so good. How many drafts have you done so far, Field, do you think?
So I'm in the middle of two right now. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 left over. So I've only completed two so far.
Wow. Okay. What about you, Mike?
I am done, I think.
Wow.
Really?
I'm in the one you're talking about, the guillotine league. That's going on now. I have a teammate for that one, and that's it. Otherwise,
the guillotine is going on right now. That draft's already started.
Yeah.
Oh,
you might want to check.
Might want to check in and
that's
see.
That's weird. Huh?
Field's been on the clock for days, and they're like, "Where is this guy?"
I am also. Is this with our cousin Griffey? Is that who you're talking about?
He's our cousin.
Oh, is this the Kentucky one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were. That one is going on right now.
Our cousin.
Are we on air? By the way, we're just like talking.
For a second, I thought you were referring to a different one that we had talked about offline, and I was like, "That draft already started."
You guys just find something to do. We're going to talk about our leagues for a while.
I love it. All right, let's just restart the whole show. However, for the record, I do want to say I want to claim Griffey as our cousin as well.
He's our cousin.
At this point, he's not just your cousin. He is the show's cousin.
He's fantasy football's cousin. Because nobody loves football, fantasy football, more than my cousin. Our cousin Griffey.
Our cousin Griffey.
I couldn't even say it right. That right? Come on. Our cousin Griffey.
We'll get there sooner or later.
Cousin Vinny. Our cousin Griffey.
We got a bunch of news we're going to get to. We're going to talk a bunch of strategy around salary cap drafts. We're going to talk about some projections later on in the show. But first, a little bit of news that we're going to get to with both Jameson Williams and Michael Gallup. Mike Clay looking like they're trending in a positive direction. Not necessarily saying they're going to be ready for week one, but ahead of schedule with the injuries they're returning from. Anything for you on either of these two players as we approach the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, these have been guys late in your draft all offseason. You could draft if you have IR slots, right? Especially Jameson Williams, who could be out. He's definitely going to be out 4+ weeks. It sounds like Michael Gallup will be back sooner. He's not on the PUP reserve list. He's not an IR. He could be back soon. So he's trending up for me, and we're going to talk about him later, so I won't get too into the weeds on him. But again, we're feeling a little better about Gallup right now. He's going to play a big role in Dallas and Williams. Again, if you have an IR slot, you could stash him for a while. He could be a league winner, but not much has changed for him, right?
Yeah. Do you want to save the Michael Gallup thoughts then until later?
Let's do that.
Only thing I will say is that Jameson Williams may be ahead of schedule in his rehab. Brad Holmes, the Lions GM, also noted, like, we made this investment for the long term.
Yeah. Sure.
So ahead of schedule for rehab could mean that he plays in week 10 as opposed to week 15. So we'll talk more about Michael Gallup, who I think has more value and is being undervalued right now. I will leave it there because we'll talk more about him a little bit later on in the show.
That is fair. All right, so good news on both of those guys. Hoping to see them sooner rather than later. But one other injury, Mike, that is sort of important to us. We're not really sure when we're going to see this person back out on the field.
Yeah, the Ravens mascot, Poe, you may have seen. There was a presser, I think it was yesterday, with
John Harbaugh, the Secretary of State.
Everyone. I was going to go through the list.
I believe Taylor Swift flew in briefly for it. There were a couple others.
It was unbelievable.
There.
So it's obviously a big story in the league. And Poe's a friend of mine, actually. I've known Poe for a long time. So I'm hurting, too. We're gonna miss seeing him out on the field this season. So we're thinking about you, Poe. Feel better, and we'll get you back out there at 110%, I think, for 2023.
Any chance that you could fill in for Poe over the first couple weeks while he's out?
I don't think I could. Maybe AJ Mass could.
You know, AJ,
formerly Mass is on our team.
Formerly Mr. Met, right?
Mr. Met. Yeah, wrote a book about the whole experience, so pick that up for sure. So maybe we have someone in house that can go try out.
Hey, now.
Although the only thing is, like, AJ is like really important to our ESPN fantasy team now. So can we afford to lose him?
Let's not do that.
Okay, we're keeping AJ Mass.
Forgot what I said.
That's going to do it for news. We honestly don't have a whole lot. We're going to get into a bunch of strategy. There is so much. Again, follow at Field Yates on Twitter. Field has stuff coming out every single day. If you set up notifications for him, you're going to get notifications all day long for his tweets, but it's worth it.
I don't do that because I have notifications for Adam Schefter and he retweets everything. Tweets, so I just I get them anyway. So that's what I do.
Wow.
Sorry, at Mike Clay NFL if you want to follow Mike as well. Mike also has a bunch of great stuff on Twitter. I'm at Daniel Dopp. We're going to talk about
need notifications for Daniel.
You don't need notifications for me.
Well, no. you could get notifications for Daniel. Like they would be, you know, I get like a bottle of wine like every 3 months.
That's what it
would be. Wine of the month club, but I'm wine of the quarter month club.
Yes.
That's like you with Twitter, right? That's like true. Daniel's that's infrequent. He just makes an impact when he tweets.
I'm trying to be a little bit more, but it's just, you know.
You're quality over quantity, but you're going to become quantity and quality.
Speaking about quality over quantity,
segue right there.
Let's talk about salary cap drafts because this is one of the really exciting things. A lot of times what we talk about and what we do here at ESPN, we're always talking redraft leagues, 10-team redraft leagues where it's basically a snake draft.
Yeah.
1 through 10, 10 through 1, back and forth through the rounds. But salary cap leagues are fun and different in a totally different kind of way, Field, and I think for me, it's because I get to choose if I want a player. I can leave the draft with that player because I can decide how much I want to spend on
them. Yep, you can. So let's just go through the strategy of a salary cap league, and we can sort of just like pass the baton around. Mm-hmm. I'll start, and I want to be clear. I'm going to speak out of both sides of my mouth with the very first thing that I say as it pertains to a salary cap league.
All right.
Speaking generally, if you can, try to assign a rough value to each player that you are monitoring in the draft lobby. Now, we have a very helpful hint. Mike Clay has a salary cap cheat sheet in which he assigns a rough value for every player. It's available on ESPN.com. Daniel is holding it right now with basically everything Mike says. I follow it. This is a good way that if you don't have a valuation on Jonathan Taylor in a $200 salary cap league or Christian McCaffrey in a $500 salary cap league, follow Mike's lead. Now, but what's going to happen is the minute the game begins, a player is going to go off the board, and the first player nominated probably will be Jonathan Taylor or Christian McCaffrey. That player is probably not going to go for exactly what Mike values that player at. It may be way over, or it may be way under. So while it is important to have a rough idea of how you value each player, the minute one player goes off the board, be ready to adjust your valuations accordingly.
Yeah, and that's a good point with Taylor, right? Because as we'll talk a little bit about, you know, I have a budget in mind, right? So I'll let you use Taylor as an example. Usually my budget's not going to include a top end running back, right? I'm going to go a little lower because sometimes those guys will go for like $65 out of the 200. I think you can get a little more value going another direction. But let's say that happens. Let's say Taylor goes first and your plan is to go after, say, DeAndre Swift and Cam Akers, right? Spend a lot less. And Taylor's just, people are nervous out of the gate. And that happens, right? You have to kind of watch the room, right? And then have a feel for it. And he's at 50. And you were like, all right, I'm going to price and force a little. I'll go 51, once, twice, sold. I just got Taylor $10 or $15 below his price, right? You have to adjust your budget right on the fly. That's great. You got him at a great value. That's fine. But now maybe you can't pay up for Mark Andrews, who you wanted at tight end, right? So you have to have a budget in mind, like you said, and you have to be really ready to take advantage of values. And maybe you want a Taylor, but he goes for too much.
Right.
And so you have to do the opposite. You have to cross him off and adjust your budget on the fly and plan to go less at running back and maybe spend more at another position.
I think the nomination process is also a really important part of the strategy for salary cap leagues. Yep. Just because you nominate the player, if you're playing in a 10-team league, you have a 10% chance of landing that player. One thing that I like to do, and not with every time I nominate, but something that I do like to do is if I'm nominating a player, sometimes I'll go for a player that I really have no interest in having on my roster, and I'll nominate that player for two reasons. One, I think that it will get other players to bid on that player. And two, not only is somebody potentially paying, let's say, 20% more for Clyde Edwards-Helaire than I would be willing to pay, it's also a roster spot, right? Now that player is not going to be as likely to be in the market for Miles Sanders or Damian Harris or whoever that next running back is that is nominated in a salary cap league. Sometimes you nominate a player that you do want to chase, but don't be afraid to nominate somebody you don't want to chase as well.
Yeah, just be careful not to nominate them for a price too high and then no one bids on them and then you're stuck with a guy you don't want. So just be careful with that. You do want to price and force a little bit, which means not letting a guy go way too low. You know, if a guy's just sitting there going once, going twice, and his number's too low, you want to kind of hit the button and bump him up a little bit. But Agree with you. One of my favorite things to do is nominate kickers and defenses, because as soon as someone say Harrison Butker $1, as soon as someone says $2, I'm like, yes,
it's a dollar more for me.
It's a dollar for me, right? Yeah. You want to spend more money on kickers and defenses, like this is a Disney show, A Silly Goose, then go for it. But yes. I love that, because it's more money for me.
When you're talking about price enforcing, Mike, I think there is it's a nuanced strategy, right? Because like you've said, you've got to be ready as soon as you hit that button. I might be the person now rostering this player from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. How often do you price enforce? Do you do it on every single player? Do you pick certain players? Because otherwise it feels like you're just risky all the way across the board.
Yeah. I mean, again, you have to, every second of a salary cap league is important.
Yep.
And it just depends. It's always different. It depends on how much you can afford to price enforce, who the player is, how off the pricing is. Like if it's off like $5, you might not want to put 27, bid up to 27 and get stuck with that if the price, the market's 32. But if it's like I was said with Jonathan Taylor, the market's 65 and he's at 49 and it's all quiet, you have to jump in there. You can't let one of your league mates get a player that good and then he ends up going for less than Austin Ekeler and Christian McCaffrey and maybe Najee Harris, right? You can't let that happen or that team's going to have a huge edge.
Most of the time, salary cap leagues are not done in person. They're done on a mobile device or a laptop, so you can't get a feel of what others are going to do. So sometimes it's a gut call on price enforcing. Yep. And on occasion, you get snake bitten. On occasion, you end up driving a price up by $10 more than where it seemed like it was going to settle, and it works out in your favor.
Yeah. One question to ask yourself is, am I comfortable if I win at this price?
Right.
Right. If no one else bids, because honestly, if it is going twice and you hit the button at the last second or you raise your hand at the last second, odds are you're probably going to get the player, right?
Yeah.
Because unless the person who had the high bid wants to jump back in, no one else is about to bid. So you might get them. So you have to be prepared. But again, like you said, gut is so important with salary cap drafts.
Another couple.
And it takes experience, it takes planning, it takes budgeting.
And some good luck.
But I'll tell you what, if you want to have an edge in your league and you get good at it, it's way better than a draft.
So
it's more fun than a draft. It's harder
than a redraft. And if you're experienced, like a snake draft.
Than a snake draft, right? But you can get a big advantage in your league if you're good at it and know how to navigate one.
Couple of the thoughts for salary cap leagues is we are humans. When you give us the opportunity to spend money, the first opportunity we get, we often do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just a byproduct of human nature. Early in drafts, I don't mind throwing out Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, because the reality is if they're one of the first three players nominated, people still have a ton of money left. They might still have 100% of their salary cap. That number for them might jump above where Mike values them at, or my own valuation of those players would be at. I'm always going to be patient on quarterbacks and salary cap leagues because there's going to be a $1 Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr or Trevor Lawrence or even Matthew Stafford there waiting for you. So don't be afraid to also throw some of the elite quarterbacks into the pool early because inevitably somebody is going to spend on them.
So that's similar to our redraft strategy, although it's different, but still the idea of waiting on quarterback is okay because of that standpoint. How much money do you save? I kind of do this stars and scrubs approach a lot of times to my starting lineup. I'm making sure I spend the majority of my money on the players that I think will be in my roster most of the time. How much do you save for your bench?
10%.
10%.
Yeah, I'm 10% roughly.
That's a good number.
Normal league. It's 90% in the starting lineup. And again, that's why you budget beforehand. You start by handpicking the players you really want. And we're going to talk about some of those guys here shortly. But say you want Javonte Williams, put him in your budget. The ballpark price he's going to be, do that for every other position. And it's a puzzle, right? You're kind of putting it together. You're like, okay, I'm at $215. If my budget's 200, I'm at 215. This isn't going to work. I have to look to go a little cheaper at tight end maybe, right? Yeah. You have to constantly be evolving. And then once you have that budget, and again, we talk about tiers all the time. Another area where tiers are important because maybe it's Javonte Williams you want, but maybe someone else loves him. Maybe you have a Broncos fan and they pay an extra $7 and you're like, all right, that's too much. You can pick someone else from that tier and you have ready like a DeAndre Swift or someone like that. You're ready to strike on. So, but again, having that budget in place so you're not like Lamar Jackson and Christian McCaffrey and Michael Pittman, I like him this year. And then you're like, I have no money left.
Wow. Now I'm starting, I don't know, like Vincent Smith as my third wide receiver. Yeah, you're exactly. Like, wait, what? JJ Arcega-Whiteside, he's going to get promoted to the practice squad in order to be on my roster. So Mike said 10%. I think that's a fair number. One thing I don't mind doing, though, is maybe saving a little bit more than 10% of my budget. And then here's a piece of advice that is good for both salary cap leagues and life. be patient. A lot of times we do our drafts this time of the year because we are at the age where a lot of our friends are working or parents. You might be doing these drafts at 8 or 9 o'clock local time, and people want to get to bed. If you can ride it out that extra 30 minutes or so, you might be rewarded because other people can't help it. They just want to get it over with and move on to the next thing, whether that's bed or TV or whatever it is. This may sound ridiculous, but patience can really pay off in salary cap leagues. So if you can afford to, be patient. There's going to be some guys waiting for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, patience and focus too, because it's not like, say you're picking at the turn in a draft, you'd be like, all right, I made my two picks. I'm going to the bathroom, get a snack, you watch some TV.
No
then you hear the ding, 10 minutes later, you're up again. Salary cap. That doesn't work. You have to be on it all the time or someone will slip through. Like you have a couple seconds. You'll be like, oh, I cannot. Kyle Pitts just went for $11. I cannot believe I let that happen because I looked over here for a few seconds. You have to be focused and honed in.
It is.
And it's fun. I love it. I love the experience, but you have to be in
a war of attrition.
You know, the worst person in the world to play in a salary cap league against is
who?
Keith Lipscomb.
I was just going to say
not
that.
Not cool, Keith. Oh, my God.
He was the worst.
Oh, I'm like that looking guy at his roster, and it's just like, oh, Terry McLaurin for the $300 salary gap. Like Terry McLaurin for $11. T. Higgins for $7. Calvin Ridley for $1 because it's a keeper league where you have to drop guys after 4 years. And it's like, oh, the person who had Calvin Ridley, he had to send him back into the pool. And because our rankings are sorted by your projections, Calvin Ridley is sorted at 0 points this year. He's suspended for the entire season. But for the 3 years beyond this, a dollar Calvin Ridley could be the best value in the league. So not cool, Keith. You're like 15 feet away from us, and you know how much I love and respect you, but I hate playing against you in salary cap leagues.
I want to say two more things real quick, and then we can move on. And you already sort of mentioned this when you talked about nominating players maybe that you don't want. I want to say even if it's a player that you do like, just know your league. A lot of times we play in home leagues, right? If I'm in a league full of Detroit Lions fans, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to nominate a bunch of Detroit Lions early because I know that people are going to want, they're going to pay more for TJ Hockenson. They're going to pay more for Amon Ross St. Brown. And of course, I would love to get those players too. But once the value, you know, it exceeds their value, it's not worth it. So being able to understand, if you've got a guy, I got a guy named Randy in one of my leagues, loves Tom Brady, had him each of the last 6 years. We always nominate Tom Brady, and he always overpays for it. It's just about knowing your league, right? That strategy is really huge.
Tom Brady, $50. $51.
That's so good.
You know, here's the best part. Keith just texted me back and said, I just want you to know that I respect and love you too. And I'm like, Keith, you're not making it easier for me to hate playing against you in salary cap leagues.
This is his strategy, though. He's trying to keep it on his nice side so that he can keep striking.
But his teams are so good. Last year, we played in this league in the first week of the season last year. And I think, and I'm sure Keith has data of this, I had like one of the three highest scores ever in the week.
Yeah, and lost.
No, I beat Keith, who had like the fourth highest score ever. And then Keith's team actually stayed good.
Yeah.
My team did not stay good in this league, but Keith did. I just got fortunate in the first week.
You know what the problem is, Field? You probably just should have drafted better players up front. Like if you found some top tier guys, maybe you would have been in a better spot.
I see what you're saying. Like you're asking just, if I were to attack the top tier, who should I go for?
You can leave. Keith's going to...
Yeah.
Keith, you want to come in here for a sec?
Yeah, that sounds good. Keith, this is like Price is Right.
Yeah, you know, just right. Come on down.
Yeah, come on down.
Now, if you were to attack the top of this draft field, in all honesty, like you're doing a salary cap draft, you've got it. Mike said, I'm going to write down a list. These are the guys that I want to target. This is the price I think they're going to go for. I'm choosing to go after these guys.
Yeah.
You have the urge to splurge on a couple of high profile guys. Who are some that you like this year?
So I looked at the players that are being drafted in the top 10 or so on average on ESPN, and I took the three players that I deem to be the safest this year in fantasy football. And those players, in my estimation, are Jonathan Taylor, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase. I think there's not a whole lot of explanation needed. And if people are saying, well, what about Cooper Kupp or Derrick Henry or Christian McCaffrey? I can go through them one by one. Cooper Kupp had this incredible year. He's had great years before, but this was by far the greatest year of his career. What if he regresses closer to the player he was before that? Not expecting it, but I'm just mentioning it. Christian McCaffrey, there's the injury concerns. Derrick Henry is coming off of a major foot injury. But with Jonathan Taylor, you know exactly what you're going to get. He had 11 straight weeks last year as a top 10 running back. Every week in my rankings, I will have him as either running back one or two.
Yep.
Justin Jefferson scored over 17 fantasy points in over 50% of the games in his career. Like, a coin flip is going to land on over 17 points for Justin Jefferson more than it does under 17 points. And then with Ja'Marr Chase, we're talking about one of the great wide receiver prospects the league has literally ever seen. So I'm willing to pay big for guys, even though it's going to be big. But I'm only, if I'm going to pay big for a guy, I'm going to pay for a guy that I think comes with the least amount of risk.
Yeah, Field took like the top of the top of the top of the draft, yeah. Mike. And
you
obviously,
should get all three of those guys. Then you're done.
Yeah.
You're done then for a while. Like
you sit back for the next 3.5 hours waiting for
my quarterback is Vinny Testaverde. My tight end is, who do I have? Mercedes Lewis. Yeah. And
Mike, what about you? Do you have any guys that you have the urge to splurge on at the top of salary cap drafts?
I sure do for a few reasons, right? And I'm going to go at this a similar way. These are top-end guys, right? But different reasons why I like them, right? So Deebo Samuel, for example, right? I've been drafting him a lot in redraft this year, and he's a guy I feel like, as a whole, people are down on, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not. I don't know why. I've talked about this a lot. He was top five in fantasy points per game last year, regardless of the position he was playing, right? Whether it was the wide back or wide receiver. Still going to play a big role in that offense. But again, people just don't really want to spend on him right now. So I can get him at a little bit of a discount and still get myself a top five receiver. So that's one. Mark Andrews. And you know, everyone knows he's my number one tight end. He was fantastic last season. Having an elite tight end gives you an edge, right? There's a couple guys that score a lot of points. There's a big drop off that gives you an edge. But also on top of that, I feel like in salary cap, I don't know if you have the same experience, like people don't value high end tight ends the same way they do in season long. So Mark Andrews might be the 30th highest bidded player as opposed to getting drafted, you know, 15th in snake drafts, right? So I feel like there's a little advantage there too, whereas people don't want to spend as much on tight end. So I'll take advantage of that and go after a guy like Andrews and get that elite tight end. And then the other one is just a guy I love, a guy on one of my teams, right? Javonte Williams. Again, I think he's going to make another big leap this season. He was fantastic last season, was already top 15 in touches. I think that improves the season and he separates himself a little bit from Melvin Gordon. So, and again, he's a guy, maybe I pay a few extra bucks over his ADP, if you will, and get him. I'm not going to go crazy over my budget, but
sure,
you know, if I can be in the vicinity and get him on my team, I feel really good about that.
Yeah, I like all those guys. It's tough to argue with anyone, honestly, like any of these top guys that we have here. I feel like my top three right now that I have, and to your point, I chose a couple of players that I'm not trying to spend up at the top of the top of the list, right? Mm-hmm. So I got CeeDee Lamb. I love CeeDee Lamb, a wide receiver, 17.2 points per game in his 18 career games where he's seen seven or more targets. With Amari Cooper being gone, I think he's going to be a target monster there, and we're expecting another big leap this year. Really like CeeDee Lamb. DeAndre Swift.
Oh.
I know this sounds like a Lions homer pick.
Lions homer. We're bidding him up. We're price enforcing on this one, fellas.
Weeks 1 through 11. He was RB5.
Sure was.
He was number one amongst running backs in targets and receptions. The dude is everything that Alvin Kamara light is. I'm excited to see him take that next step here. So I like DeAndre Swift. And another tight end. You talked about Mark Andrews. I like Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts, I was able to see he's priced $13 cheaper. Still one of those top tier elite tight ends that I want to make sure that I grab. But I think I'm able to save a little bit of money by going with Pitts rather than Kelsey or Andrews. So those are a few guys. If I'm going to spend up, I like those guys while saving a little bit more money for this mid tier, because there's a lot of guys in this mid tier that I really like as well.
Yeah, I like those ones.
All right, let's jump into some smart spending then, Mike. I'm going to come back to you.
All righty.
Let's do some smart spending here in the middle of the rounds. Who is it that you like in the middle tiers of salary cap drafts?
Okay, so you have a few guys here. And again, these names shouldn't surprise if you've been listening to the show, right? I'm going to start with J.K. Dobbins.
Are
and
you
again,
kidding me?
Similar reasons to Deebo Samuel, right? I mean, that's really the key right now is nobody wants J.K. Dobbins. So his price continues to fall. Maybe a few weeks ago, I wouldn't have been as strong on him. But again, he might be limited in week one or out in week one. We'll see. But I still expect him to have a big season once he's back on the field. Just super effective when he's been out there. And look, this is something I haven't mentioned yet about Dobbins. So I wanted to point it out. Greg Roman, who's their offensive coordinator, his last four running back units have ranked top six in rushing touchdowns. That includes last year.
Really?
For what? One, two, three. How many running backs were they missing last year?
Every one of them. Right? Yes.
So just that offense breeds touchdowns for that position. I think he'll deliver there. So Dobbins is the guy I'm going after if I can get him at a discount right now. Another one is Jerry Jeudy. Again, I think if you, in a majority of them, maybe 60, 65% of the time, Courtland Sutton will probably go for a couple more bucks just based on how the industry seems to value those two. I'm going to go after Jerry Jeudy, take a little bit of a discount. He's going to be a huge part of the Seattle offense and obviously, this Denver offense. And obviously in Seattle, Russell Wilson had supported two receivers. So like him. And my last one is, and I know Field will agree with me on this one, Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
Right. Looking healthier than than ever, you know, or seems to be on track for an early season, if not week one debut. I could deal with the slow start because he is, again, people are afraid of the injury and he's going way cheaper than he should be in salary cap and in season long drafts right now. This guy's going to be top 10 when he's out there. I'm going to take the discount right now. And if he needs to sit on my bench for a couple weeks at his price right now, I'm fine with that.
I'll offer a few more here. One of them is Hunter Renfrow, who is being drafted as like wide receiver 30. I think his pricing is probably comparable to that as well. But as I've gotten closer and closer to the NFL season, one of the things that I've started to wonder more and more and more is that, all right, this Raiders offense could throw the ball 600 times. And if they throw the ball 600 times, based on the targets they have that aren't Darren Waller, Devontae Adams, and Hunter Renfrow, isn't there a world that exists where they throw the ball 110 times to each of those players at minimum?
Yes.
And Hunter Renfrow was at 128 targets last year. If he gets within 15 targets of last season, he'll end up being a significant value at wide receiver 30. So he's such a good player. I have overthought Hunter Renfrow more than any other player during the pre-draft process, really the entire offseason, but I am in on Hunter Renfrow. Another guy that comes to mind for me, and we talked about how quarterbacks you can afford to wait on, is Joe Burrow, because again, if you look at where he is being priced at versus quarterbacks at the top of the heap, it's going to wind up being a really, really good value, even if Mike and I see it a little bit different in terms of his value for the entire season. I still think Joe Burrow will be a really reasonable value based off how he is being priced right now. One thought on Joe Burrow in just a moment that I wanted to share as well. But Drake London is another name that keeps coming to mind for me. Obviously a rookie, so we still have to see exactly what he's going to look like at the NFL level, but seems to be being devalued. And the other thing that's happening right now, I've noticed this in our league that we played in a couple nights ago, is because there are so many good wide receivers at the top of the heap, like people just don't have the resources available. And they've already spent $55 on Devontae Adams or Tyreek Hill or Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson, that all of a sudden that 20 to 30 tier of wide receivers is going for like $12 or $14. And at that point, you're like, how could you possibly say no to Drake London, who has a clear path to being the Falcons wide receiver one this year, which may not be a fantasy wide receiver one, but it could be a top 20 fantasy player. If he scores 8 touchdowns and has 80 catches this year, he could wind up in the top 20 for wideouts.
Yeah, absolutely. The only one I have concern with there is Burrow. I know you wanted to talk about it more. The only thing I would say there is, I think because of what he did last season and went to the Super Bowl and based on his ADP, he might be one of the guys in that tier that's kind of driven up, right? People start bidding a few extra bucks and he gets to $11 and you're like, hey, he's the fifth highest priced quarterback.
Right.
I can get Aaron Rodgers for $5 or $6. And that might seem low, but that's reasonable. Yeah. You'll probably get a Stafford, Rodgers, maybe Russell Wilson for that price range, right? Trey Lance will probably be driven up a little bit too in a salary cap style league. So again, some positions just aren't, people don't attack them the right way, the same way they would in season long, and that's your chance to take advantage. I do worry Burrow in a lot of leagues is probably a little overpriced.
So it's time to set the record straight on something, Mike.
Okay.
Joe Burrow.
Oh no.
Come on. That was a private fact I shared with you.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure that you can ever come back on the show again.
I know. This is embarrassing.
So you've been sharing the stat about Joe Burrow that we've adjusted a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
And it's just a slight adjustment, people. Not that big of a deal. But
it's
I just want to know.
Significant, but
okay,
was
I just want to know. So Mike has slightly overinflated how many points Joe Burrow scored in 3 games last year, and he sent me a text a few days ago about this.
Oh my gosh.
A heartfelt apology.
And he apologized. And my thought was one of two options. One, we can never have him back on the podcast.
Yeah.
Two was jail.
Yeah.
So one of those two seems like the only reasonable outcome because Mike Clay has gotten a fact wrong. And I'm not sure I can ever forgive him.
Wait a second. I thought the stat was 47% of Joe Burrow's fantasy points came in the final three games.
So it wasn't exactly that. But well, I'm ignoring the numbers here for a second. You, the audience, you have to decide how much you can trust Mike Clay.
I can't.
And if you feel betrayed and you never want Mike Clay back on this show again, you let us know. If you want him in jail, you also let us know. If you're a police officer out there that can enforce something like this, you know, I haven't talked to Mike. I haven't looked him in the eye other than when we're on the show since that time.
It's in your contract. You have to.
I get it. Yeah. And I am wondering whether, like, we can even, like, do we need to scrub his name from the podcast notes?
Oh, wow.
Like, I've already unfollowed him on Twitter. I blocked him on Instagram. I asked Derek Carr what that was like, and he was like, I'm telling you, it's totally fulfilling. Yeah. But I mean,
I self-reported to HR. Like, I told him that, so they already know, right?
Yes.
And Mike, by the way, just so the people know, it's like a third of the... a third of his fantasy points were scored in three games, right? Okay. So it's not that far off. The number was just exaggerated, but I feel kind of bad about it.
How long have you been at ESPN for?
6 years.
6 years. And he got a fact wrong.
Yeah.
Once in six
One
years.
Time. That's,
you know, I just not, love it. Like, he wrote me this nice apology, and I'm like, Mike, dude.
Well, you used it.
I don't care.
I had the show on when I wasn't here because I support you guys and I love you. And I heard you say it, and I had just discovered it. And I updated our capsule, like, in the game. It's all updated on there.
Got it.
But I heard you say, and I was like, oh, no, I forgot to tell Field. Like,
whoa, hey.
Like, wow. So anyway, what do we need? Press
Keith
release
tells me you're not allowed to go to jail, so we're good.
No, you don't say that.
You don't have to apologize to me.
You're too valuable. You're not going to jail. You're too valuable. But you do have to wear a Bengals helmet for the rest of the week.
Yes.
And I'll apologize to Joe Burrow in person.
Directly, yeah. You guys, aren't you guys doing a Labor Day barbecue together?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
All right, I got three players, too. I'm going to throw out there real quick.
I'm bringing the Miller Lights. Yeah. So anyway, thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah, just a quick stop down so we can do that.
That was fun. It was a private discussion.
I got three players I want to talk about real quick. First one, AJ Dillon, guy I like in the middle of rounds. 1,100 total yards last year, 7 total touchdowns, 221 touches. Do you know that Aaron Rodgers says that there's a chance he could catch 50 balls this year? Obviously, you're talking about the addition of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon being able to catch a lot of passes in that Packers offense. He is a guy with where he's going $2 right now. I don't mind spending a little bit of extra money. I think he's going to well outperform that. He's going to be way higher than RB32, which is where he's going in redraft leagues. Also really like Gabe Davis, 9 touchdowns in his final 7 games, including the playoffs. That 8-for-201 and 4 touchdown game from Gabe Davis was incredible. We're really excited to be able to see him take the next step.
By the way, if you're watching the video, there's a picture of Gabe Davis, and he looks like a lineman.
He sort of does.
He looks like, there's a reason like he scores a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah, 73. You can see the 3 on his right shoulder right there.
Yeah. You can see the 1-3. But, there's a reason he scored 4 touchdowns in one playoff game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about him. Yeah.
I watched all of those. I watched every single catch in that game last night on True Media. And I was, it was just fun to watch Gabe Davis tear that.
That was a track meet. How fun was that game?
It was so fun. All right. Yeah. My last one I have is Dalton Schultz. If I miss out on Kyle Pitts, the idea of being able to grab someone like TJ Hockenson or Dalton Schultz, a person for me, still in the tier of tight end that I like, but not so deep that I have to worry about, you know, the Irv Smiths or the Mike Gesickis from that standpoint. Another guy that I like to sort of target there in the middle of rounds. All right. You're penny pinching, Field. You're at the end of the draft. You save some budget. Who is it that you're looking at the very end of your auction? Salary cap drafts.
And by the way, a lot of salary cap leagues do incorporate a keeper or dynasty format. Mm-hmm. So this is where you can really make some hay in a salary cap league. I'll give you 3 names. I don't think any of them will be a surprise. One is George Pickens, who has certainly looked the part for the Steelers this year. I know Chase Claypool is going to probably start, but Mike once told us the cream rises, and perhaps George Pickens carves out a role sooner rather than later. Pittsburgh's track record for drafting, developing, and turning wide receivers into stars speaks for itself. Rondale Moore, who's currently banged up, not entirely sure what's going on with Rondale Moore, and we're going to do an injury show on Wednesday. And speaking of shows, Sunday, we're doing a Fantasy Football Now special, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. This Sunday is in like Labor Day Sunday on ESPN2 to get you ready for the upcoming season. Be sure to tune in. All 3 of us, Stefania, Damian, Woody, a whole cast of awesome people will be there. Can't wait for that. And of course, our regular show begins the following Sunday. But back to Rondale Moore here is no DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, for the first 6 weeks. Hollywood Brown's going to be very busy. But Rondale Moore is basically going for free right now. And been a lot of reporting from a lot of people that have suggested that Rondale Moore is in line for a much bigger role. Our buddy Peter Schrager, who is very close to Cliff Kingsbury, talks about it openly all the time, so I'm not outing him. He has him as one of his breakout players. He's been told that he's due for a massive, massive year. So Rondale Moore comes to mind for me. And then it's hard to find great values amongst running backs because there's so few good running backs in fantasy, as it were. But Isaiah Pacheco is one for me that, who knows? We've seen plenty of late-round running backs that have generated preseason buzz that once the season begins, heck, we've seen it with the Chiefs themselves. Remember Darwin Thompson was supposed to be this diamond in the rough for the Chiefs? He's not even on a practice squad right now, 3 years later. We'll see. But if all this preseason buzz does hit for Isaiah Pacheco and you're getting him for $1 late in your salary cap league, then I think it's going to end up being a very worthwhile value.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, great.
Good Mike, stuff. A couple of late round targets for you.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence here as a QB. Again, oftentimes some of those QB 8 to 13 or 14 are going to go for like $3, $4, $5, $6. So a guy like Trevor Lawrence might be $1. You might be able to get him late when if he's still sitting there. I'm going to take him and hope that maybe he's a breakout player like Carson Wentz and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow in their second year, right? So Lawrence is a guy for sure. I think even like Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, those kind of guys fit the similar bill.
I want to ask you a question before we move on, because you're talking about Trevor Lawrence. It makes me think of one of the salary cap drafts that I just did, where I ended up with Trevor Lawrence as my quarterback.
Okay.
But that was in part because my league didn't follow Mike's sheet super well.
Right.
And quarterbacks went for more than they were supposed
to. That's good
for you. So yeah. I kept waiting and waiting and waiting because I didn't want to spend $8, $10, $12 on Derek Carr or Kirk Cousins or any of those guys. So when that happens, do you try to, and I don't want to say follow the trend, but you're letting everyone else go. How far do you let that go? Or are you just saying like, hey man, take as many quarterbacks as you want.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You'll pick it up at other positions, right? So you're probably better in the flex or you're better at tight end than everyone else.
Awesome. Yeah.
And if Trevor Lawrence hits, great. If not, you just keep working at that position, right? Maybe you can get maybe Justin Fields hits. And by the way, I have a situation like that too, where I waited too long. It was very similar. It was a family league. It was a draft. It wasn't salary cap, but the quarterbacks went way too early, and I just refused to jump into the mix for these guys like Carr and all them. So I waited, and I took Lawrence, and I spent a late pick on Justin Fields. Like, if one of them second-year quarterbacks hits, I'm in great shape, right? And, you know, so anyway.
So when the board doesn't always break as far as what the pricing goes on your sheet, it's like this is part of being fluid, right? Don't freak out. Let the values keep coming to you and just let that happen. Because I just noticed with a lot of the quarterbacks that we talked about, at least in my home league, they weren't going for these cheaper prices. Yeah. So I was waiting, getting value.
Yeah, and also if the rest of your team's stacked, trade.
You're in a good spot.
So anyway, Lawrence is one. Number two, again, you can get Josh Palmer very cheap. He's the number three receiver for the Chargers, and you can get him for a buck or a couple bucks.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. There was three games. He played a ton of snaps last year. He scored in all of them and was super productive in fantasy. We expect him to play a bigger role this season. And if Keenan Allen or Mike Williams miss time, he's going to be a must start in fantasy. So like him a lot. And then the third one, here's our discussion point from earlier, Michael Gallup, right? Especially with him trending up, he was already a guy that you can get super late. You can get for a buck. If you have an IR slot, you could stash him there for a few weeks. Obviously, the late season ACL last year, but the team obviously not concerned, and there's two signs of that. They gave him a lot of guaranteed money in the offseason, and he's not on IR or the reserve PUP list, which means they expect him back within the first couple weeks of the season. In fact, I believe Jerry Jones said if this was like the Super Bowl,
he'd be playing in that
game. So they're not going to rush him, but if it was a bigger game, he would play. So he is close. Averaged 7.5 targets last year. That could go up. Amari Cooper's totally gone. This year, Cedric Wilson's gone. When he's out there, he's going to play a big role in an extremely high-volume, pass-heavy offense, and he's so cheap right now. Could be one of the big steals this year.
And redraft leagues, too, or just the standard draft leagues as well, and I know this is a salary cap discussion, and he's not the same level of player. He's going 93 picks later than Chris Godwin right now.
That's crazy.
By the way, Godwin's no sure thing to play in week one. We think he's going to play, but it's not a guarantee. And while Michael Gallup's not likely to play in week one, he could play in week two.
Yeah.
So to me, that is one of the ultimate values, both redraft, standard leagues, salary cap leagues, you name it league. I'm in on Michael Gallup.
As long as you have an IR spot. If you don't have an IR spot, it becomes a little different because then you're rostering him, do you think?
Or
do you
think I'm okay with it. No, because he could be by week two.
Yeah, I guess you're right. At this point.
By the way, that's why we were lower on him throughout most of the offseason because he tore his, what was it, week 17.
Right, it was January 1st.
We thought tore PUP his ACL. For sure.
Yeah.
You know, once he goes down and you hear ACL, you're like, all right, probably PUP next year. Maybe it's midseason.
Right.
You know, it might be a while, but now things have changed in the last week or two, right? So now he's suddenly an extremely good value.
All right. I got a couple people too. Field already mentioned George Pickens, so I'm not going to talk about him, although he was one of the guys that I had. I got Cole Kmet. I got a tight end at every single level here. And Cole Kmet, listen, positive touchdown regression. He's one of only two players with 90-plus targets and no touchdowns last year. That's going to change. We already saw it change in the preseason. He already caught a touchdown in the preseason from Justin Fields. So if you're waiting on tight end, Cole Kmet is a player that I really love. Also, I'm going to go with Zamir White.
Yeah, I like this one.
This one's a little bit deeper maybe than 10-team leagues, but the Raiders didn't pick up Josh Jacobs' fifth-year option. They've talked about it. Vic Tafur came on the Pat McAfee show and talked about how the Raiders really like Zamir White. Now, this does not mean that he's someone that I think is going to be starting early on in the season. It is the end of the bench. It is a flyer for me to see what happens. But when you talk about Isaiah Pacheco, I think Zamir White is somewhere in that same vein, especially in the AFC West. A lot of points being scored. If he ever gets that lead role away from Josh Jacobs or injury happens, he's in line for a lot of work there.
He could be like Ramondre Stevenson this year.
Yeah. Yeah, great point.
Not the perfect comparison for him, but just the idea that he's the second man in on this offense, and if something happens to Josh Jacobs, it is most likely going to be Zamir White as the starter.
Yep. By the way, if he is Ramondre and that makes Josh Jacobs basically Damian Harris, I'm fine with Josh Jacobs at his ADP.
Yeah,
you know, he's plummeting.
Continue to be like the cold take is like Josh Jacobs is fine going where he's going. Running back 21 is like, seems about right for me.
Yep. I like Zamir White more as a standalone player, not really as an insurance back to Josh Jacobs' field, but if you were looking for insurance options, where would you go?
You are on fire today.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Well, of course you would. After all, isn't love a great deal, right? When it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages, plus add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote, or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
Fantasy football season is around the corner, and that means more of what you love, the teams, the rivalries, the stats, trash-talking friends. This season, you know your favorite players are hydrating with Body Armor sports drink on and off the field? Your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash talking points you need, made with potassium packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, and coconut water. It's a great time to grab some Body Armor sports drink for yourself. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is an important part of that. Body Armor sports drink, more than a sports drink. Check this out. Now through November 1st, buy any one Body Armor product at your local convenience store and scan the QR code in store to enter to be one of hundreds of winners to receive $100 in DraftKings prizing. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of U.S. 21 and older.
Solid live reads by both you guys there. Really
Can I just quickly mention one thing before we get into Mike Clay's projections?
Absolutely.
For those that are watching the live stream, they probably noticed, like, wow, there are a lot of college support there right now. Daniel's wearing his Central Michigan Chippewa shirt. Mike is wearing his Marshall Thundering Herd shirt. And I'm wearing my Wesleyan lacrosse. Shout out 2018 or 19 national champions. They got a lot better once I left. It's weird how that actually happened.
It's not weird. I love
how we have, like, no super obvious schools, right? It's not like Miami, Ohio State, and like USC or Alabama.
Hey,
or something.
Right. Cut to Joe Staley being like, what are you talking about? I was a pretty good player out of CMU.
Central Michigan does have like only good players that come from there, right?
Yeah.
Corey Davis? No, that was Western Michigan. Antonio Brown?
He was Central Michigan along with J.J. Watt, along with Eric Fisher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. So number one overall pick.
Chad Pennington and Randy Moss from Marshall.
And
Field came from West.
Jared Burkhart.
Stop it.
Burkhart's from Maryland.
You know, also what I was...
Oh, that's worse.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, Ferris State, too.
You know what else I was thinking, though, is our favorite Detroit Lion.
Yes, Malcolm Rodriguez.
All an under-heralded player, right? So you have Malcolm Rodriguez as yours, Rodrigo, sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
Mine's Craig Reynolds, of course. Kutztown University. Yeah. I watched Hard Knocks, and they showed footage of him at Kutztown, which is awesome to see.
His dad at the end of that Hard Knocks. Oh, man, I got choked up when he was like, you know what I'm proud of you for giving that towel? That was unreal.
Oh, yeah, that was great. I used to go to games a lot as a kid, and that was the best part, too, was I remember, you know, just super quick story time. Again, bus trips all the time, went to games all the time, baseball, football, races, no matter what. One of my best memories is I went to a Steelers game, and we used to go to the hotel and see players and stuff when we were little. And one time there's this guy, big guy, sitting there on the phone. Back then it was like in the wall, like the phone, talking. And then he got done, and he walked over, and he said hi. And we talked to him a little bit, and it was Seth Payne. He was on Jacksonville.
How about that? Wow. Yeah. And, now a great radio host.
We saw him the next morning, too. He signed autographs. We got pictures and stuff like that. I still have his autograph at home. And now he's, of course, with, you know, Texans media and stuff. You see him all the time. I follow him on social. So it's funny now to know as an adult. But he, you know, that going out of your way, you remember stuff like that.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable. And of course, you like any lacrosse player. So
Tom Kennedy, of course, from Farmingdale, New York as well. But if you're wondering why we're wearing this, because today is the 18th annual College Colors Day. And of course, fans all over the world are going to be celebrating their favorite college team, specifically, of course, college football season, right? Because it is upon us. Last night was so much fun to watch the backyard brawl. And we have a massive week of College Football Head. It is about that time. That's the slogan for this year. So if you want to go out there and support the cause, you can jump in on the action. Use the hashtag College Colors Day to get involved. We've got all kinds of gear around the studio. We love supporting our schools. And Wesleyan football is going undefeated this year.
Oh, I like it, Field. We're going to dive into some interesting projections right now. Mike, we looked at your projections. We're trying to figure out what are some things that maybe caught our eye, some things that, maybe caught us off guard. Here's one that I thought was interesting.
Okay.
We're going to start with Patrick Mahomes, okay?
All right, I've heard of him.
Patrick Mahomes is projected to lead the league, based on you, in passing yards, passing touchdowns, and have a career high in fantasy points on the ground. Right now, he's currently going as QB2 behind Josh Allen. Is his career high in rushing going to be enough to be able to push Josh Allen potentially for that QB1?
I don't think he will. Is it possible? Of course. You know, Patrick Mahomes won the MVP, the Super Bowl MVP. He's been the top scoring quarterback before. He definitely has that in his range of outcomes. The reason Allen is ahead is rushing yards, right? I give him a 54-point edge over Mahomes in fantasy points created with his legs, right? That is really the big separator. But the idea of Mahomes, and maybe there's a little bit of prop bet aspect to this, right? If you're into prop bets, Mahomes has a good chance to lead the NFL in passing yards. And I think a lot of people are against that because they lost Tyreek Hill. But there's a lot of reasons why he may. First of all, he's number one in passing yards over the last four seasons and three fewer games than Tom Brady. The Chiefs, super pass heavy, first or second in game script adjusted pass rate each of the last four seasons. And we've talked about this all offseason. The AFC is loaded. The Chiefs' schedule is one of the hardest I've ever seen since I've been doing
really
this job.
Tough.
It
yeah.
is unbelievable. It's going to make it hard on him, yes, and maybe hurts his efficiency a little bit, but he's going to have to throw and throw and throw and throw and throw all season long. There's going to be a ton of on his arm. Great candidate, not only to lead the NFL in passing yards, but passing touchdowns as well.
Yeah, I keep mentioning this, that like the number of backs that are going to survive if they don't have passing game value this year, it's going to be so small. Like it might be Derrick Henry and that's it. And maybe Nick Chubb as well. Mm-hmm. Like one of the mitigating factors potentially for Damian Pierce if he goes as like RB21 off the board. So Mike, you have Justin Fields projected for more passing and rushing yards than Trey Lance.
What?
What does that mean for how they're being ranked? Wait. I mean, Trey Lance is being drafted in over 85% of leagues. Meanwhile, Justin Fields is basically a coin flip to be drafted. Should Justin Fields be either in the conversation as a potential top 15 quarterback, or could he be even better than Trey Lance this year?
He certainly could. It's just a matter of which of them is going to make a leap. I mean, look, Justin Fields, well, his last four games last year, he was top 12, all of them, right? Yeah. He finished really strong before that injury. The reason why we're ranking Lance ahead is in the projection, you'll see a touchdown edge to Lance, of course. No surprise. Kyle Shanahan, it doesn't matter who his quarterback is. He scores 3.5 touchdowns a game, three and a half touchdowns, right? They've always been productive. Was it Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard a couple years ago, and they were above average in scoring? Like, how does that even happen, right? So Shanahan, his scheme's amazing, and that should allow a lot of touchdown upside for Lance. It's a supporting cast in San Francisco. It's part of that. It's related to the touchdown scoring, but it's very good, right? Yeah. With Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk looks like he's at his best right now. George Kittle, of course, so there's that. And also, and again, this relates to Shanahan, but Jimmy Garoppolo, he was number one in yards per pass attempt last year. And again, that's a stat where you look at the YPA leaders from like the last decade in the NFL, and it's like Garoppolo's on there. Mullins is on there. I think Beathard's on. Like, it's all Niners quarterbacks, right? The scheme is so good that they get so much out of every pass attempt. And I expect that to be the case with Trey Lance, especially because he can add more value with his legs too. That's going to open up some lanes. So I prefer Lance still in fantasy, but there's no doubt Fields could be the breakout. He could be, you know who he's a lot like? Jalen Hurts. Throws deep a lot. In his first year, Jalen Hurts pushed the ball down the field a lot. He was number one in average depth to throw. Fields was up there last year. And of course, both of them add a lot of value with their legs.
A reminder that when you're doing the projections, it's the median outcome for these players as well, right? So like the extreme for Josh Allen, still higher than the extreme for Patrick Mahomes, the extreme for Trey Lance, still greater than the extreme for Justin Fields, amongst many other examples that we'll get into.
Yeah. You got another guy here that I think is really interesting, Gabe Davis. I talked about him a little bit earlier in the show. Right now, he's projected to lead the Bills in touchdown receptions. I mentioned he had 9 touchdowns in his final 7 games, including the playoffs. But he's got Stephon Diggs on the other side of him. Is this Stephon Diggs disrespect, or is this Gabe Davis just taking the next step in his game?
Yeah, why do you hate Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, our consensus is 4 on Diggs, and I'm at 6, so maybe yikes. I am.
Maybe I'm at 6 receiving touchdowns only. Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? Unbelievable. Yeah. No, actually, I love Diggs, but this offense can support a lot of pass catchers, as we know, right? And I'm high on Davis, too. He's a vertical target. He's 5th in average depth of target since he entered the league. And he's obviously a target near the goal line. I mean, he was a part-time player last year. He averaged under 13 touchdowns last year, despite averaging under 4 targets per game. He was 8th in the NFL in end zone targets. Yeah. He had like...
That's crazy.
He had like, what, 30 touches in the regular season? And he was 8th in end zone targets. Right. That's unbelievable. He's going to play a larger role. I've made the comp to... Year 3, Chris Godwin before. There's a lot of similarities. Mid-round pick, great offense, much bigger role after being really good his first 2 years. I'm in on Davis. You know, the only reason I haven't drafted him more is because everybody's in on him. Like, everybody wants Gabriel Davis.
Size isn't everything, but what is he? What is he, like 6'3", runs a 4.40?
You know what? I thought he was bigger. He's like 6'2", 215. And if I'm not mistaken...
Okay.
I think he did not run great during the pre-draft process, and that's
why he fell. I think
that's kind of why he fell. So
he sure looks like he plays fast.
He plays faster than perhaps he timed, but certainly checks a lot of the physical boxes off.
And came in super young too. That's another reason why sometimes it takes those guys a little while to kind of come around, right? So he's positioned for a big year. Yeah, I mean, if you told me right now you're from the future and you said he finished wide receiver 9 and Diggs was wide receiver 4, I'd be like. I guess he scored 12 touchdowns, but I'm not shocked at all.
Like, that's so confusing. I'm from the future, and you're like, boy, I'm not shocked. You're not like, why? How did you get back from the future? What else is going on? Like, you only want to focus on fantasy.
If someone came to me and said, I'm from the future, the first thing I would ask is, like, who are the fantasy point leaders this year? Like, that's my livelihood.
That's your jam.
Think about that.
You're right.
One player, like, if you ask that person one player who, like, a surprise breakout, and you spent the whole offseason talking that person up, like, nonstop, and they went off, you're set for, 20 years in the industry.
Yeah.
Like that's
it.
That's your golden ticket right there.
So, Mike, you have DJ Moore projected to rank 4th in receiving yards this year, but you have him as wide receiver 12 in your ranks. He has changed quarterbacks a lot and will do so again this year. But are you forecasting that those touchdowns could be hard to come by again?
Yeah, maybe to some extent, just because he's been historically poor in that department.
Four over the last three years.
I've used this stat before. He's the only player in league history with 1,100 plus receiving yards and fewer than 5 touchdowns more than twice and more than 2 seasons. And he's done it 3 straight years. It's unheard of.
And he's getting, I think I'm doing the math right, he has 33% of his touchdowns in every single year that he's played football. Is that right?
Maybe. I don't know. What?
Hold on.
Is there a joke here? I don't even know what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Confused. 33%? I think it's 47%.
Is it 47? Okay.
Wow. All right. I saved you.
Thank you.
We're good.
I was just letting it, you let the joke sit there for a minute.
Okay. All right.
All right. Keep going. Okay. Sorry. I love you. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to.
That was a bad effort. Listen, I'm sitting here working on some Jets jokes. Okay.
Yeah.
But okay, they just won't land. So, nothing. Come on, that was a good one.
That was a good one. You didn't give me
that
any other
jokes. They won't land.
Sometimes when the joke is so obvious, I just miss it.
I thought I would get your attention with the joke. Like, why is he talking about the Jets? It was right there.
Chad Pennington,
sorry,
it's all
guys.
Right there. God,
we are pulled this off track.
We are on one. As
anyway, DJ
today.
Moore, 3 straight years, top 10 in receiving yards.
Yeah.
He's still, the fantasy points haven't come because of the touchdowns. I do think he'll set a season high with touchdowns this year. But are we sleeping on DJ Moore? That's what the graphic says on the screen. The answer is yes. I've been drafting him a ton. He is undervalued. I've seen him. We talk about this a lot. Who's top the queue when you're picking a lot? You kind of notice them names. DJ Moore is there a lot, and I pick him in a lot of leagues. A
couple nights ago in this salary cap league, he was like my prime target because I thought I was going to get him for like $30, and he went for like $47, and I was like, oh, yep, I totally misread the market there. What else is new?
Moore went for $47?
I mean, it was a big number, whatever the number was. Bigger than what I was willing to pay.
That person didn't disrespect.
Was that in our draft?
Yeah, but it's $300 cap league.
It's $300 cap. Okay.
Yeah, $300.
So keepers and all those things. So.
Yeah.
All right, we need one more spicy take comes from the computer of Mike Clay, and what better way to do it than with some help from hydration. Gear up this fall with Body Armor Sports Drink, more than a sports drink. Mike, Christian Kirk is wide receiver 29 in projections, but not a single one of us have him ranked inside the top 30 at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm at 31. I'm at 31. You're at 42.
I'm at 32.
The disrespect
by field. That's exactly right. Look, 4 years, $72 million. That's almost enough to consider him for a top 30.
Wait, you signed for $72 million in your recent extension?
I did not, but if Jacksonville needs a receiver and has an option to throw around him.
Yeah.
I saw something the other day. They've spent like $1.5 billion in the last decade or something, or 15 years on free agency.
That was a private stat that I shared with you, not expecting you to share it over the year.
I'm sorry. I'll self-report to HR again. God, I'm having a rough day. Do you want to talk about Christian Kirk?
Sure.
Let's talk about him.
Obviously paid a lot to be the number one receiver for Trevor Lawrence this season. He likes him, you know, we've seen in the preseason. Threw 8 passes in his game and 5 went to Christian Kirk, right? Yeah. So definitely looking at him. Has a pretty good career target share, 20%. Not huge, but a solid number. And I think this would surprise some people. He had the best completion or best catch rate over expected in the NFL last season, 75%. His expected total was 61%. You think about him, right? He's a short range target, a slot guy, but he got down the field quite a bit. He had an above average depth of target last season and still had one of the best catch rates in the NFL at 75%. Very effective player. He's been kind of up and down throughout his career, but there's hope here that he could kind of take the big leap this season.
I like it. We're going to come back and rapid fire conclude the show with both some last minute draft advice and also a player that maybe we're not quite as inclined to draft this year. But before we do that, football season brings back many traditions we know and love. Touchdown dances, the pick six, the thick six, game-winning field goals, and watching it all with friends. Plus a cooler of Miller Lite. The action on the field is reliable year after year. Pair it with the most reliable light beer. Every Sunday, game time is Miller time. Miller time is the perfect beer for football Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays. Low calories, reliable taste. It has it all. Since 1975, Miller Lite has been a mainstay in the stadium, at the tailgate, and in your fridge. No matter how your team plays, it's the beer that's always a winner. Football season brings back the big hits, so reach for the biggest hit of them all, Miller Lite. You can find Miller Lite pretty much everywhere beer is sold, or go to MillerLite.com/FFF for delivery options near you. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
The wait is almost over. A new football season is about to begin. Get ready for the NFL Week 1 action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To celebrate the return of football, DraftKings is giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $5 on any football game and get $200 in free bets instantly. Want more action for opening night? Everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. Get up 7 and you win. Bet on any NFL team of your choice, and if your team leads by 7 points at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses, Mike Clay. Eagles are an awesome opportunity for that. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FFF to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code FFF only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Tennessee. Call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Bonus issued as free bets. 1 early win token issued at opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Well, so good though, the last
we're doing salary cap drafts, so you'd be a good auctioneer.
Yes,
right
here. You would be not bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. Quickly, last minute advice from each of us. I'll start here. The draft is not final, remember that. Don't get so bogged down, man, I didn't get enough running back. Trade for somebody. It's not final. It's just the beginning of your process. Use the waiver wire wisely. What do you got, Mike?
Yeah, mine's similar. Have a game plan going into your salary cap or your season-long draft, but be willing to react on the fly, right? You might have TJ Hockenson as a target at tight end. That's who you want, but Mark Andrews falls, and you don't be like, I'm not going to take him. I have to get Hockenson later. Be ready to strike on a player that falls and adjust your plan accordingly.
So my suggestion is hydrate. Water specifically, and
or
then grab a Miller Lite.
Yeah,
and then grab another water.
The 1-for-1 rule,
and then another Miller Lite.
Got it.
And then another water, and then another Miller Lite, and you just keep going back and forth because you can't just drink, especially if you're doing salary cap drafts. Holy cow,
these are long drafts.
You got to make sure that you're good. Also, check out Fantasy Improv. Just came out today. Me, DJ Gallo, Liz Loza. It's an article up on ESPN.com. We're going to be doing this every single week, back and forth. It's a lot of fun. Go ahead and check that out.
Fantasy Improv. Can't wait to read that. We have about 60 seconds left in the show, so put on your TV hat here. You have 20 seconds to tell me who you are trying to avoid in drafts this year. Daniel, you go first.
Cordero Patterson. He's old. He's never done it until last year.
Okay. Yep. Mike Clay.
Ezekiel Elliott, one finished better than RB8 and was in week three last year. Tony Pollard is too good. He's not going to bounce back at his age, I don't think. Zeke.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire for me, he had zero games with more than three catches last year. He had one game with more than 15 rushing attempts last year. His longest rush was 17 total yards. That's going to do it for our show today. But a reminder, Fantasy Football Now.
That's right.
Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. Between now and then, if you want to use the hashtag FFNow, we'll try to answer some of your questions. And we come back next week for good. Woo! Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. Eastern time. We cannot wait. 3 hours of action-packed television, including Mike and Daniel and Damian Woody. And of course, Stefania Bell for these two handsome gentlemen. I am Field of Programming. Note. We're back on Tuesday, Daniel.
Tuesday next week. That's right.
Labor Day.
Labor Day weekend. We're going to be.
Don't labor too much.
We're going to enjoy Mondays with ourselves. We will be back on Tuesday. We love you guys. Enjoy your weekends. Be safe. We'll see you next week.
C-E-H.
Are we still going to your pool on Sunday or no?
Yeah, the heater's in.
Is it? It's supposed to be 90 degrees. We don't need a heater.
It was cool overnight, though. Yeah, it was. It got cold.
I know.
Anyway, it's propane. We can fire that thing up quick. So.
Yeah, baby.
He's a NASCAR guy with a base to try, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac on the case. Projections that can put us in first place. He's a brainiac, he's my clay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.